welcome to this episode of Future Talk. I'm your host, Dr. Inese Dawson, and today I'm joined by two very special guests. Dr. Christoph Huls, founder of Additive Manufacturing of Tablets Project at the Innovation Center of Merck KGaA Darmstadt, Germany. Christoph, great to have you on the show.
Thanks, Inese, for the introduction. I'm very happy to be here.
And a very warm welcome to Martin Bullemer, Managing Director of AMCM, based near Munich, Germany. AMCM offers customized additive manufacturing solutions, which we'll find out more about later, and is a sister company of leading 3D printing technology supplier EOS. Martin, thrilled you could join us today.
The pleasure is full on my side. Thank you.
Our mantra here at Future Talk is curiosity changes everything, exploring how curious minds use science and technology for the greater good of humankind. And with that said, I'd like to explore a topic that's set to transform the future of drug production, the process of manufacturing tablets or pills via 3D printers, also known as additive manufacturing, as it's known in the business. So, Christoph, how did you first get involved in the 3D printing industry? And when did your curiosity reveal it as a great opportunity for the healthcare sector?
That's a great question, Inese. I was kindly invited by our board to explore the area of additive manufacturing or 3D printing as a general, and started this work in the end of 2015. So we looked into different areas, like could we be a materials provider in this area? Could we start to explore the bioprinting area? Could we manage our spare parts very differently by using additive manufacturing in the future? And so forth. And we did a lot of workshops around that. And in one of these workshops, in the end of 2016, we in fact got this idea that we could use additive manufacturing to produce tablets, especially in the beginning for supply of clinical materials. So speaking about me, I'm a beginner. I'm still a baby in this area. 5 years, let's say, I'm connected to this area. I'm still learning a lot. But Martin, for sure, is one of the very experienced people that is long in this area and can much more explore this.
Okay. I would love to hear from you, Martin, if you could explain in simple terms what the process behind additive manufacturing is for those of us who are even more in the baby area than Christoph.
Happy to do so. And let's stick to the baby area because additive manufacturing is putting layers on top of each other. And just imagine you are a baby or a small kid and you're sitting at a sunny beach and you have a sandcastle in your mind and you want to build it. So what do? You take sand and you put it on a spot and then you put the next layer on top of it. You take a little bit of water, you take the next layer in it, and finally you create a castle. And that's what additive manufacturing is doing. We take, especially in our case, we take a powder and we put a little bit of ingredient into it. And then we form it with an energy source. And in case of the sandbox or the beach, it's the sun. And in our case, it's a laser. That's what we do. And yes, and if you take that now to a more technical term and you look at into the sandbox we have in our industrial machines, I'm very proud of a result we achieved this fiscal year. We built new engines for the rocket industry, and they are extremely powerful. And we might see a bright future even again in the European space industry because we have successfully done a firing test with Ariane Group, and that turned out to be really well.
Wow. So would it be right to say it's similar to 3D printing, but instead of plastic, you can pretty much use any powdered component?
It's not any powder, but it's a lot. And as we are exploring at the moment with the Christoph team, is we try to move it into pharmaceutical stuff. And this is very challenging, but also it's a great opportunity to explore.
Fantastic. It sounds like a technology with plenty of potential, with a lot of it already in action. So, Christoph, as founder of the Additive Manufacturing of Tablets project, I'm curious to know what made you choose 3D print tablets? What benefits would you say printable tablets, or in this case, when we say tablets, we're referring to pills, have for scientists, researchers, and industry as a whole?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question and a very complex question, because it took a long time until we came to this idea. We thought all the time that 3D printing of pills or tablets could be a good idea, but what is the exact business idea behind that? And when we fixed that, and the basic idea is, as I mentioned already previously, to make clinical trial supply, we could define clear benefits for our potential customers in the future. If you think about the classical way of making tablets, of producing tablets, it's a really multi-step process that encompasses milling of powders, and then in the final step, compression of the powders via stems, and then the pills have to be coated. Yeah, there's a lot of machinery around that. And as you can assume, if you are in the first phases of clinical development, you don't have a lot of the active pharmaceutical ingredient in hand, and it's very expensive. So you would like to avoid that you consume too much of this active pharmaceutical ingredient while making the clinical trial material. When we now think about the 3D printing, the formulation of the powders is much easier and much simpler as in the classical pharmaceutical production process. The printing is just one step in the process, and you can easily adapt the number of pills you want to do. And in the end, certainly we have to do a coating in addition. So it's a simple three-step process that saves a lot of active pharmaceutical ingredient and a lot of formulation time in the clinical development. You need to know that 1 kilogram of the active pharmaceutical ingredient in these phases is easily costing up to 200,000 euros per kilogram. The classical process is consuming up to 10 kilograms for just clinical phase one supply, whereas we think that we can go down to 3 to 5 kilograms of active pharmaceutical ingredient. And this together can save up to 70% of cost for our customers. I think these are clear benefits. And in the end, patients are benefiting from this also, because urgently needed drugs are brought faster into the market to really treat diseases that could not be treated so far.
So that really does sound like it's a process that firstly speeds up the process for getting medication to patients, and also additionally could potentially drive down the cost. Now, I would quite like to get into the nitty-gritty. Martin, as a specialist for additive manufacturing, how does one go about printing a pill? And more specifically, I really want to know, what is it about 3D printing that lets us save so much active compound, and what is the key difference?
Yes, of course, it's not really like building a sandcastle. It's an industrial process. What we do, or what additive manufacturing requires, is at first it requires three-dimensional data. In form of a pill, three-dimensional data is relatively easy, but I hope that my kids can get pills later on, maybe in form of a gummy bear or any other shape they really enjoy. That would make it much easier when they are sick. But even there, the beginning is three-dimensional data. And you take these data, you slice it, so you actually creating something like two-dimensional data out of it, and you tell an industrial 3D printer to expose one of these laser in a powder bed. So in our case, a powder bed. There are other technologies out using other materials. We use powder. So we expose that powder, that two-dimensional laser, with energy. And in our case, it's a laser. The laser is only interacting with material responding to the wavelengths of the laser. So what Christoph's team must do is they have to find the right formulation with the right ingredients that laser is interacting with the pharmaceutical stuff or the material surrounding it. And that's the first step in that process. And when that's happening, we create a melt pool. And that melt pool, when it goes back into solid stage, is then forming the pill. The pill is then surrounded by loose powder we hopefully can reuse to keep the cost down. And later on, we actually take the ready pills out of the powder. And what Christoph explained, because we are used to it, we might have to coat it and get the pill out. And the real challenge, scientific challenge, is to have the right interaction between laser and the materials. And we hope, like Christoph explained, that one of the three materials we want to use are interacting the right way.
I'm curious, how does one go about finding the optimal formulation for lasers?
Actually, what you do is, and what we will do in an interaction between our companies and our teams, is that we will actually just start a design of experience experimental phase and just take the known material and then expose it with the laser power. We vary with the laser power into certain watts. Or we vary with the actual speed of printing. And then you will find one corner where it's actually working. That's the usual design of experience, DOE. And then you take it from there. And of course, we don't want to destroy the pharmaceutical ingredient. That would be way too expensive.
It truly sounds like a very interdisciplinary field. And speaking of different disciplines and collaborations between them, Christoph, Merck KGaA Darmstadt Germany employs loads of top scientists all over the globe. Yet, in early 2020, you decided to partner up with AMCM. So I would love to know, what was the motivation in collaborating with Martin and his team?
Yeah, well, first of all, Martin and his collaborators is a very nice group to work with. But seriously, we are not a manufacturer of 3D printers or additive manufacturing machines. The engineering is not our expertise. We have no knowledge in all this technology. We are strong in creating pharmaceuticals. And I guess the combination of these two expertises makes the good partnership. EOS, the mothership, let's say, of AMCM, is well known for being a market leader in the laser sintering 3D printing area. And we partnered up with the best of the best. And it is absolutely necessary to make this partnership to try to make these machines compatible with all the quality standards that we need, the good manufacturing practice, GMP, that we need for creating pharmaceuticals on these machines. So it is a conditio sine qua non to have this kind of partnership done.
Great. I've got a question for both of you. I'd like to direct it at Christoph first and then Martin. What role does curiosity play in partnerships of this nature?
Well, I guess it is absolutely one prerequisite. If we are not curious enough to look how this technology is really working and are listening to our colleagues very thoroughly when they try to explain their world of engineering of these machines, we'll never be able to then adapt to what is needed for creating pharmaceuticals on these machines. So I guess without curiosity, we would not have the idea. Without curiosity to look who could be the best partner, we would not have found this partnership. And we will certainly fail if we are not curious enough to find the best solution how to create printers going forward into the future.
And what about for you, Martin?
I only can agree with Christoph. Curiosity is key for establishing something new. And in addition, you need a vision because you need to look out in a very far distance, especially in the pharmaceutical industry. And if you are not curious, what could happen in maybe 10 or 20 years from now, you will not do your job right. Absolutely.
And of course, here on Future Talk, we're always talking about how, again, curiosity changes everything and the different dimensions of curiosity and the possibilities that that brings. Now, as we come towards the end of today's podcast, I'd quite like to look towards the future as well and explore where the 3D printing of tablets and pills might take us next. So, Christoph, I'm sure a lot of listeners from home might be wondering, right now this is, by the sounds of it, quite an industrial process, and yet one that has cut down the amount of material by 70%, you said. Will we be able to print our own prescribed medicines at home anytime soon?
Well, that is maybe a question, how do we define soon? you know, in terms of the age of the earth, soon is maybe then really soon. But I would say printing pills at home, individualized for the patient needs, is still 20 to 25 years ahead. I think this technology has first to prove that it's broadly applicable. That's what we are trying to do now with the clinical trials that we are trying to supply. Then it goes naturally with phase one, phase two, phase three, and then to commercial supply of these pills into the market. What we can then do differently compared to the classical production methodology is that we can decentralize production by just putting the printers into the markets. And I guess in this pandemic situation that we are currently in, decentralizing production is one of the key things we need to achieve in the future. So decentralized production is the first step. And then certainly if the technology is proven to be applicable broadly, the next step is that these printers will be put into pharmacies, be it in clinics or be it in the pharmacy that we are going to for our, let's say, daily medicines that we are needing. And then at the end, we could maybe envision that we have printers at home, but with all the, you know, insurance of quality, with all the safety that needs to be established there, that the right drug, the right API, the right active pharmaceutical ingredient is in the right pill for the right patient at home, is still a lot of challenges we have to overcome. But yes, it is certainly the way forward in the end. But let's do the first steps first, and that is clinical trial supply.
Truly, I'd say the pandemic from this year has certainly shown how decentralization could be beneficial in many cases. And honestly, if it's going to be possible in 20 to 25 years, I very hopefully will definitely be alive for then. So I think that counts as soon enough. Martin, so we've been talking about whether it'll be possible to print our own pills out at home, but I was also wondering, are there any other fields in healthcare where 3D printing or additive manufacturing will be able to make its mark?
Oh, it did already. And I believe most of us even don't know it. You just mentioned the pandemic, and we supplied a lot is we supplied the additive manufacturing technique to produce small detailed components for CT scanners, which are used actually for the diagnosis of COVID-19. And we had a huge push here. And with our technology, we could actually build very, very tiny components helping them. Great success, but very, very back into medical equipment and nobody sees it. But what is more touchy is that you might go to a dentist and you get a dental restoration and you get something 3D printed in your mouth. And I think the percentage or the chance you get this is pretty high now, I believe in the 40-50% that you get something 3D printed in your mouth, at least if you get the standard stuff. And most people don't know it because it looks like a dental restoration, like the cast model we used to get 20 years ago. And it also goes to patient-specific components in the healthcare industry. And this is the great benefit of 3D printing or additive manufacturing, how we call it as engineers, that you actually can print something which fits best to a human body. So it starts with dental restoration, it goes into joints, it goes into other stuff. So let's call it the mechanical supply of parts.
So what I'm hearing here is potentially 50 years down the line, if I need to, perhaps I'll also be 3D printing some teeth at home. And perhaps in a more serious question, as someone with somewhat of a background in biomechanics, I'm also curious to know whether 3D printing will be applicable to, say, creating prostheses or tissues, components that are made with organic materials that are aimed to be dissolved, but that could benefit from being 3D printed. Do you think that would also be in the future of additive manufacturing?
The biomechanics definitely will have a future. There is a lot of research going on. This is a different process because we are the additive industry then is working with living tissue or living cells. Actually, a laser would destroy everything and you don't have anything living. But there is a lot of research going on, and I think it's already possible to print cartilage or even skin. And that's a great success already. The time until we have a living heart being 3D printed, it's the same like in the 3D printing industry, in the pharmaceutical industry, sorry, that it will take about 1 or 2 decades.
That's still quite a short timeline in the grand scheme of things. So I do truly hope that we get to see this. Unfortunately, we're all out of time, so I'm going to have to leave it on these thoughts. But I want to say it's been really fascinating talking to both of you today. Thank you so much, Christoph, for sharing your expertise and your thoughts and impulses with us today.
Yeah, it was really fun and I really liked the interaction. Thank you very much for guiding us.
And Martin, many thanks to you too for sharing your insights and your expertise with us here on Future Talk.
Thank you, Ines. Thank you all.
And as ever, a huge thank you to everyone out there listening. We really hope you enjoyed today's episode, and we look forward to welcoming you next time as we talk to more curious minds from the fields of science, technology, and beyond. But until then, thanks for tuning in to Future Talk, and remember to stay curious.